Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Snow Lake Shores.
That would be really weird. Snow Lake Shores is a bit of an oxymoron, it seems.
Yeah.
If it's a snowy lake, you would think that it would be too cold for there to be actual shore.
Well, shores is just the area near water.
When I think shore...
So if you're near Snow Lake...
But when I think shore, I think beach.
Oh, I do too. No, 100%.
Maybe it's not an oxymoron.
So hold on.
Why is there a snow lake in Mississippi anyways?
Well, I mean, that's a good...
Is my mic doing it again?
No. It was loud for me, though.
Okay.
Here's my question. The Arctic Ocean, are there shores?
Well, at some point,
I guess there has to be.
So. If there's an ocean...
But it's snowy and icy and all that, so I don't know. Wherever you are,
why is Iceland green and Greenland ice?
It's going to be red, white, and blue land very soon. You don't have to worry about all that.
That doesn't make any sense to me, but...
Oh, well. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. This whole podcast is going to be chock full of things that don't make sense to you.
Can we just talk about anything other? Do you want to talk about the John Cena heel turn again?
Right now, I want to talk about the Mississippi Beef Council telling you beef is what's for dinner. We could both go for a steak right now. This is another one of those.
I could definitely eat my feelings right now.
This is another one of those days where I'm like, you know, this diet whole thing. Like, if you said right now, you're like, hey, do you want to get some Waffle House? I don't know that I would turn you down.
This is also not going to be one of those podcasts for the professional journalists out there that are like, yeah, you're supposed to be calling it right down the middle. No, you're going to feel our feelings on this. That's one thing I like about our podcast too, is that we hold
bourbon in this.
There's no reservations about what side we've been on for most of our lives. The side I'm on is beef, though.
Yes, I can go. Like I said, a steak right now might make me feel a little bit better. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. You are looking for it. Maybe you don't want to wear it today, but most days you do, and they've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowway by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. Best meal in town's at Restaurant Tyler. I talked with Sam Sklar. We're going to take him to Restaurant Tyler on Thursday.
Very good.
So we're going to finally get him in there, and he can enjoy what we've been saying is the best lunch, the best blue plate in the city of Starkville. And I'm sure he will enjoy it, and you will too. So if you want to, you know, if you want to eat your feelings tomorrow around 11 a.m., head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you.
Just get it over with.
Throughout Central Mississippi, if you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One location. Let them show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you want to get answers. You want to get them quickly. Need a bank that provides the level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
I'm just tired, man. I'm just tired. I'm tired. It's just, this is the most, I'm telling you.
And it never ends until summer.
Riley, I told Robbie, I could tell my friend Riley that I'm just looking forward to July because that's the one month of the year with no Mississippi State sports.
It is so relaxing in late June and July. It's so great. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
If I'm still talking about Mississippi State sports in July that happened, it's because they won the national title in baseball.
Yeah. This year, I'm going to have a six-year-old and a 3-month-old, pretty much by myself at the house. So that might not be very relaxing,
I'll
but
come help
it,
you.
At
I'll come,
least
I'll
I won't have. I've been actually worrying about this, about what's going to happen when my next kid comes, about how we're going to record this podcast regularly, like for about 2 or 3 months.
I got a plan for that.
Okay. Well, I think the plan's probably going to be later in the day. Well,
it could be that, or I mean, I have a child who will babysit for you anytime you want.
An infant?
Well, we may have to do some training on that, but
yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, so but all that to say, I cannot wait for July to get here.
Yeah.
It's going to be glorious because Mississippi State sports
just won't be there
won't
for
be
a
there.
All right.
We'll be able to breathe.
87-82 is the final score from the Humphrey Coliseum. Dogs trailed by as many as, I believe, 10 in the second half. Fought all the way 12. Back. Were they down 12 at one point? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Down 4 with 13.7 to go. Somehow find a way to tie the game, send it into overtime. But in overtime, Texas just did what they did all game. They made more shots than Mississippi State. And when you look at the box score of this game, Robbie, the fact that it was in overtime is kind of surprising. State did not shoot the ball very well at all. Texas shot the ball great. They out-rebounded Mississippi State. And Josh Hubbard, I don't know that we'll ever again see a Josh Hubbard game like this where he has – no points in the first half on 0 of 2 shooting. He finishes with 16 points, but 9 of those come from the free throw line. He was 3 of 12 from the field.
State, they did an excellent job on him.
They did, their game plan was very simple. Every time State screened, they double-teamed him, and they forced him to give the ball up, and they basically said, if any other guys can beat us, great. And in the first half, R.J. Melendez and Sean Jones Jr. did a really good job. Melendez got into some foul trouble, and that really hurt State. In the second half, I mean, State has 6 guys in double figures in this game.
Yeah.
And still it wasn't enough to win because Texas, as I said, they shoot 48% for the game. They shoot the dreaded 48% from three-point land, 11 of 23. The science on that one continues. When State gives up 10 three-pointers, they lose. State, I believe, was one of – I need to double-check this because I want to be sure – but
they didn't. I don't think they made a 3-pointer.
They were 1 of 12 in the second half in overtime from 3.
Yeah.
Hubbard made 1 3-pointer in the second half. That's it.
3-point shooting both ways has essentially cost Mississippi State every single loss they've had this year.
Yes.
I think that's a fair statement.
It's a very fair statement.
Offensively, defensively, the fact that Mississippi State can't shoot and they can't guard the 3-point line has given them all 10 losses.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very confident in saying that is this team's biggest issue is the 3-point line.
Yeah.
Both ways, you shoot 6 of 25 in this game. They basically they do double you up in percentage from 3-point range. 11 of 23, 6 of 25. That's the ball game. It just is. Trey Johnson, Tremon Mark, those were the two guys that you couldn't allow,
and you weren't sure.
Beat you, and they.
You weren't sure about Mark coming into the game. He'd been injured, ends up being able to play, and then he leads them in scoring 24 points on 9 of 13 shooting.
They went 10 of 15 from 3, I think. The rest of the team made 1 3-pointer the entire ball game. Without those two, this is an absolute masterpiece.
Or just if Mark can't play in this game, State wins it easily.
But, I mean, it's just like I told you – I saw 3-point shooting. I told you before, like, I just don't know what to really blame.
There were some made threes tonight that were highly contested.
Yeah. You know, some of that was just you tip your hat. There were so many things throughout this game that I thought just it didn't really make sense. Josh Hubbard, 0 points in the first half. He did not shoot a shot for, I think, the first – maybe 16 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Did not get a shot off. And that was their defense.
I know at the 8-minute timeout, he had not taken a shot.
Yeah. And State, I feel like this game was truly lost in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever State surrendered a 10-0 run to end the first half. 11-0 run. And it ended up getting up to 14-0 run as they hit a three when they came out of the locker room. That run lost Mississippi State the game.
Agreed.
Because the rest of the ball game, even when they tied it up, they're fighting uphill. And Chris Jan said, you know, they felt like they had the momentum. Their bench looked a little dejected. I told you after overtime, I felt like State was going to win the game because of the momentum. They normally kept turning them over. They
normally Texas, when a half ends like that.
Yeah,
and you know, Texas blew it. They were up 9 with 3 minutes to go. They were up 4 with 13 seconds left. State ties the game off of a steal and a layup by Riley Kugel. Normally, when that happens, the other team just folds and says it's just not our night. Mm-hmm. Especially a team like Texas that is probably, you know, they may have gotten themselves back onto the bubble tonight, but
they're not getting in.
Probably not going to get in. A lot of times, those teams will just give it up.
Yeah,
and
they got Texas.
They did not.
They got a lame duck head coach. It's very frustrating you lost this game. But also, there's just I hate blaming this, but the officiating was so bad.
Bad both ways. But
I mean, it was bad both ways, but it hurt Mississippi State down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
When you look in the overtime, you have 33 seconds. So they have the it was essentially a tie-up.
Mm-hmm.
State had a tie-up.
And they called a foul.
Yeah. Because they're looking for a foul right there because they know Mississippi State's going to foul. State gets the ball right there. You got a chance to go take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it's Texas ball. They hit, I think, one of two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Riley Kugel had an opportunity to hit two free throws to take the lead with 10 seconds left, and he missed them both.
That's what I wanted to hit on. Kugel, first half Kugel looked like it was going to be a bad night.
I'm so conflicted with Riley Kugel in this game. I'm so conflicted.
So he played awful in the first half. There's just no getting around that. Second half, the first two shots of the half are him. He misses two threes. From there, he played with a lot of hustle, was on the floor for a couple of balls.
Most effort I've seen him play this year.
Played with good defensive effort. He finishes 12 points and 7 rebounds, 4 assists.
Mm-hmm.
And
2 turnovers, and the 2 turnovers came in the first half.
And had the bucket that tied the game to send it into overtime. But as you mentioned, he's on the line with State down 1 with a chance to take the lead, and he misses 2 free throws. State only missed 6 free throws in this game.
22 of 28.
He missed 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, you can't pin this game on him. That would be unfair when you consider that, you know, Hubbard didn't play his best game. You didn't get anything out of Harris. You didn't get anything out of Nwoko. But, man, to have a chance to take the lead on the free throw line at that moment, I think if State gets – that's another – you know, you say you thought when they were going into to overtime they would win. I think if State gets the lead there, they probably hold on.
Yeah.
They're going to have the lead, I think, with 20.8 seconds left. They got to, you know, defend one more possession.
You put the pressure on Texas. I like State's chances right there.
Jans made an adjustment in the second half and started going to a full court press, and it really bothered Texas. They forced, I believe, 2 10-second violations and 2 shot clock violations from the time they went to that press. So that, I mean, they made some adjustments, but in the end, State just didn't play well enough tonight. They didn't shoot the ball well enough tonight. You can't shoot 39.7% while your opponent's shooting 48%, including 48% from 3. As simple as that.
Texas had 12 turnovers in the second half.
Yeah.
And State had, I think, 4. So, you know, it was the 2 weeks in a row that we've seen Mississippi State play significantly better in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't dig yourself a hole.
No, you can't. That's you can't be down 11, 12 points like that.
And this is this game, the way that they lost this game, it really affected the players and Chris Jans. Like, my thoughts on Saturday have kind of changed a little bit. Can this team rebound from this on Saturday? I'm concerned just because how this game affected them. Now, playing on Tuesday, I think it helps you, gives you an extra day or whatever, but going to Arkansas, playing a desperate Arkansas team that's playing better.
I have
better,
a really, really bad feeling.
Yeah, it just feels like this is going to be one of those – you know, Texas beats you twice like Alabama did mm-hmm. whenever Bama beat State. And it happened against Kentucky, too. I think you lost the game after that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not throwing this team in the grave or anything, but it would be a bit of a surprise if they come out in that game locked in playing great basketball.
Yeah.
They're not playing good basketball right now. They're really not. They're, you know, I think they're playing – hard in spurts. Second half, they played extremely hard. I think it was a valiant effort, but the lackadaisical effort in the first half, especially late, was very concerning. And it's something that we've seen with this team at times. The last 2 years, I don't think we ever questioned, is Mississippi State giving the effort needed to win the ball game? You could just look at it and say, my God, this team just can't shoot. They can't make shots. But by gosh, you're going to be bruised and battered, and you're going to know that Mississippi State gave 110% effort when the game ends. This team has struggled with that consistently. It's been tough for them to put that on the court for 40 minutes every single week, every single game. And you can't do that in this league right now. This is the toughest the league has ever been. If you do not bring it every half, every game, you're going to lose. You're going to lose to teams like Texas. Texas is not a bad team. They're not a great team. They're not a really good team, but they're not bad. They're still talented. They probably have, one of the best, arguably the best freshman in the country. And they got a really good player in Tremont Mark too. You cannot let up in any of these ball games or you're going to get beat. And that's what happened on Tuesday night. Mississippi State just let up. They were fighting uphill the entire game. After Texas was able to get that run late in the first half, it was just an uphill battle for this team, the rest of the way, and they couldn't corral it.
One thing that stands out, this team was in conference play was 4-5 at home. We talked about all year, like it's so tough to win on the road. It's so tough to win on the road. Not
they
here.
Didn't get it done at the hump.
I
They
mean,
didn't.
that's the one stat that stands out the most to me, that to not be able to protect your home court in a season like this where everybody's good and everybody sort of, I mean, who are your four wins? You beat South Carolina, the worst team in the conference. Beat
That
LSU,
A&M's your only good win in
the
that game.
second worst team in the conference. You did beat Ole Miss, and you beat Texas A&M. And that's it. And this Texas team is not good either. And they're probably, like we said, probably not going to make the tournament. If they do, it'll be by the skin of their teeth.
It's going to be looked back at as a really, really talented team, I think, that just did never put it together. I think we're going to look at this team and say, gosh, that team should have been better than what it was. And they're going to finish very likely the exact same way they did the last two regular seasons. That this team is going to be firmly in the tournament, but they're going to have the same record pretty much. It's going to be 8-10, 8-10, 8-10. That's what this program is right now. And they got to find a way to get that happy medium between the really, really tough, hard-nosed defensive team that can't score and the team that you would consider more finesse and a little more offensive firepower. They got to find that happy medium there. And they got to find a way to be a better three-point shooting team. This is just kind of Chris Jan's teams. They don't shoot the ball very well. So I don't know what that means. I don't know how that works, but
That's something. They missed some evaluations in the portal is where you got to look, because you think Claudel Harris and Kugel are. We talked about Melendez, not a great shooter at Georgia, but he just is what he is. But Kugel and Harris, especially, you thought were going to come, and Clary, obviously, you see what happens there. But you thought for sure Harris was a 36, 37% 3-point shooter. You thought he'd come in and be your sniper. And he has not done anything in weeks. I think he had a good game against at Ole Miss, I think, and that was it. That's the last time he's been good. And then, Kugel has just not been the consistent threat you were hoping he would be. And yet, the other side of that is they have won 20 games. They have a chance to finish 9-9 if they can go to Arkansas and win. They're in the NCAA tournament, comfortably after 2 years of sort of sweating the bubble. You're in comfortably. I will say this though, if this was a normal year in the SEC, I don't know that they would be in.
Well, I don't know if they would be 8-10 in
That's a
a
good
normal
point too. They
year
might not,
either.
but yeah,
I
I guess
think
that sort of pans itself out.
I asked Chris Jans about this post game, just about the grind that this is, because I think a lot of teams in this league are dealing with this outside of probably Auburn, maybe Florida a little bit. I mean, everybody is having these kind of games.
I mean, Auburn lost
And
tonight.
Auburn did lose tonight, but this, I mean, it's been few and far between for
That's
them.
their third, second conference loss.
Yeah. So, but if you just.
That's the thing that kills me. I'm going to tell you how good they are. As good as this conference is, top to bottom, they're going to probably finish 16-2.
I'm going to tell you what I think could very well happen is by the Elite Eight, the SEC's wiped out.
Because they've beaten themselves up to a point that
I think
they can't
that
have anything left to give.
I honestly believe that's a possibility.
I will
And
tell you this: whoever wins the SEC tournament, I may pick the unless it's like if it's a 116, I won't do that. But if somebody wins the SEC tournament, like Texas A&M, I would not pick them to win their first round game
no, they're going to be
because they'd just be
absolutely
wiped out.
exhausted unless you got a bye to the quarterfinals, you know. But that's what I honestly feel in my heart is going to happen is this team, this conference is going to be absolutely exhausted and beaten when they get in this NCAA tournament. And all the talking points are going to be that the SEC was overrated. The SEC didn't have it. We talked up this team as the greatest conference ever, and look who's in the Elite Eight. It's the ACC or it's the Big Ten and teams like that. I think that's very well what could happen. I think we're going to see this conference really struggle at times when it gets to that point because I really do believe that, like Jan said, it's wearing on these players, on the coaches. They're just exhausted when they finish these games. Because these games are just absolute bloodbaths. So I hope that doesn't happen. I hope I'm wrong on that, but I just have a sneaky feeling that that's a possibility that could be coming down the pipe for the SEC just because of how tough this conference is. We see it all the time in football. Happens all the time. So we'll see how it goes.
We will see how it goes. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. Boy, are we about to take a massive U-turn for where we're going here.
Good.
We need it. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Another place that if it were open right now, we might just go destroy some, like, bring me all the smoked
I
wings
just
you
need
have.
wings.
Wait. I worry what you heard was bring me some smoked wings. What I said was bring me all the smoked wings
All
you
of them.
have. Did you understand?
All means every.
I could easily eat 50 smoked wings right this second. It would not even be a chore.
For many, it's a tub of ice cream. For
I mean,
you and I,
I'd love to buy ice cream.
well,
And
I'll yeah,
if Churning
that's
Spoon wants
true.
to hook it up, I'll go for that. But some smoked wings
Yeah.
would hit the spot. When you're feeling down, you're thinking, things like, why are there so many songs about rainbows? Stuff like that. You just go over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Or the Older Brother, wherever you want to go. Great products, great service. Oh, here, can't wait to hear what you do. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, I
Gonna
guess.
fight that
Come
microphone?
on!
I'm sick of you!
Sick of your crap!
Enough!
Anyway, you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems. They know what to do. They know the name brands. They know the pricing. More importantly, they know the service. They know how to take care of you after the sale. You don't want to. You imagine, your copier breaks and somebody tells you, "Oh, we can be there in a week to 10 days." What business can survive that? None. Not yours. Don't do it. Deal with an Advantage Business Systems. That way, problems get solved a lot of times the same day. Why? Because they're in Mississippi, just like you. 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Oh, we have to real quick.
That almost sounded like whenever you say like they're hardworking Mississippian just like you. That almost sounded like off of Tommy Boy when Dan Aykroyd was like, because we're you're hardworking people just like you.
I make products for the American man because that's what I am and that's who you are. Yeah, that's where I was going with that. Anyway, Maroon and Co. We talk about it all the time. You need new gear, you need to go to Maroon and Co. They have the biggest and best selection in the city of Starkville. Nobody with a better selection on their shelves than Maroon and Co. And best of all, we'll save you some money. Thunder 15 is your promo code to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. For your next trip to Starkville for any game, make sure you're also making a trip to Maroon & Co. Before we go to this other thing, I want to throw in the sign from our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs, who, of course, want to remind you that when you are a business owner, you need to see the sign. And that sign is your sign. People need to be able to see your sign, recognize your sign, know what your sign stands for. You need signage. You need printing. You need graphics that pop, that get people's attention the way you're going to get with Pip Printing and Signs. Call our friend Cam Baker today at 601-499-5216. Tell him that you want to deal with Pip Printing and Signs, that you want to get on board with him, and he can put his 30 years of experience in this business to work for you. The sign tonight, as you mentioned, Robbie, is that end of the run, or that run at the end of the first half and the start of the second half, 14-0. State was up 32-26. They went down into the locker room 37-32. It was 40-32 at the end of the first possession there for Texas. That was the sign that it was just not going to be Mississippi State tonight. I think you and I kind of looked at each other like, not tonight. And even though State fought back and fought back, they were never able to get the lead. And I feel like in those runs, if you don't ever have that minute where you get back on top for a second and have the lead, it's tough to just constantly play from behind. State played from behind for 25 minutes. And then, you know, ties it up and then goes into overtime, immediately falls behind again, and it's just trying to scrape. It's just hard to do. And so that's why the sign for me is that run. State has had a couple of games like that this year where they give up a big run at the end of the first half and they go into the locker room with zero momentum, and it really burned them this time.
Was that your favorite Ace of Base song?
Well, I mean, yeah, I have two choices, right? I have The Sign, or I have All That She Wants, and The Sign is definitely the choice.
Is that it? Is that all they got?
Hold on.
They had the cassette tape that just had the two singles on it.
Right.
That's the cassette tape that we just wore out at my house.
Right.
And I think it was The Sign and All That She Wants, but there's another one, too.
Beautiful Life.
It's a beautiful
life. That's a
good
song.
Oh,
and Don't Turn Around, too. Are they okay?
Oh, man. They got some bangers.
They got a couple bangers in here.
They got some bangers. You know what I introduced? Me and Natty had a dance party the other night to Easy Lover by Phil Collins. That is a great song.
It's a banger.
That is a great song.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you.
We had a fun time the other night listening to that.
All right.
Was there anything else we could talk about?
Yeah, we got to do the other thing.
What's the other thing?
Time to start our Thunder and Lightning spring football previews.
Oh, yay, football. A joyous time in all of our lives.
Well, maybe I can make you feel a little bit better.
Let's go from Mississippi, a absolutely devastating Mississippi State basketball team to the football program.
Well, good news. We're not talking about Mississippi State's football program right this time. We're talking about somebody else's.
Thank God. Let's talk about the one of the winningest programs in the history of college football.
They had a bad year for them.
Yeah, I feel so devastated.
I know you
for
do.
All Alabama fans out there.
Let's start her up. The spring wraparound. We start in Tuscaloosa. Matt Stahl is about to join the program. Covers the Crimson Tide for AL.com. It's hard to believe, but it's March, and that means it's time for what? No, not college basketball. It's time to start talking about spring football and going around the SEC as we've done the past couple of years. We'll start in Tuscaloosa with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Matt Stahl joins us, AL.com. Noted law obeyer. I remember that from our last talk on Sports Talk Mississippi. A man who understands the rules and regulations of our society. And Matt, I've been talking about DeBoer the past couple of weeks. The quote from the other day really got to me about, now we can recruit the right way. It drove me absolutely insane. Stealth hot seat for Kalen DeBoer? Can we go ahead and do that?
I don't know about that quite yet.
Okay.
Now, let's talk about what happens if he loses this Florida State game to open the season. You know, maybe then, but I don't think I'm quite there yet.
Yeah, it's one of those things where Alabama still is one of the most talented teams in the country, and they could very easily put together a run that sees them end up in the college football playoff, maybe even in the semifinals, maybe even playing for a national title. But at the same time, you know, they were a talented team last year and didn't quite get there. Where was the disconnect for Alabama? Where was the biggest disconnect for Alabama last year between what they probably should have been and what they ended up being?
They were just inconsistent in games they should have won. I mean, the losses, you know, they did all the talking around the playoff time was like, oh, well, we're not being, you know, rewarded for playing a difficult schedule. It's like you didn't lose the games that made your schedule difficult. You lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, right? Like it was just in those games they came out and looked just horrendous, looked awful. So, I mean, that was it. There were times that season, like, I mean, first half of that Georgia game against LSU, we're like, okay, this team, like, really could be a playoff team, really could even be a title contender. But they were just so inconsistent game to game that I think it, I mean, it obviously crushed the season.
Is this finally the time for Ty Simpson? Is you know, he's been a guy that, you know, if you follow recruiting, five-star kid, you know, people here follow him kind of closely because his dad played here. And it's been kind of this thing where we're like, is it ever going to be Ty Simpson's time? Is it ever going to happen? Thought he might go to the portal. He didn't. I assume he's the guy at least going into the spring.
Yeah, if I had to put money on who the starting quarterback would be, I think it'd still be Ty Simpson at this point. You know, it's an interesting battle there because with Ryan Grubb back, I mean, the only player on the roster that Ryan Grubb, or only quarterback on the roster that Ryan Grubb recruited initially was Austin Mack. So I don't know how that factors into it. You also got a five-star freshman, Keelan Russell, coming in. But, yeah, you know, he's been the back, like main backup for 2 years. He sat there. He really has waited his turn. He's shown some flashes, had some good throws when he got in last season. So if I had to put money on it, yeah, I think he'll be the guy this year.
Is he a quarterback that can, you know, be a championship quarterback for this Alabama team? I remember the recruiting profile, but that's a long time ago. When you've in the limited time you've gotten to see him, do you see a guy who can work with the incredible talent around him and bring this Alabama team back to where it wants to be?
Yeah, I think so. He doesn't seem like he's gonna make, like, you know, if just from watching him in games, which not much tape on him at this point, you know, he certainly, like, he's not going to run for 550 yards a game like Jalen Milroe did, but like he's also maybe not going to have some of those just game killing interceptions that you saw last year out of Milroe. So yeah, I mean, I just don't think we've seen enough tape from him to really know what we're getting, right? Like, I mean, the most you saw from him was against UT Chattanooga in 2023 when he went off on a near touchdown run and did that thing where he dropped the ball on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the Mercer game last year, he had a like long throw, but other than that, and the South Florida game 2 years ago as well, he played really well in the second half of an abysmal football game. But yeah, there's I don't think enough tape out there to make a determination until you get a few games into the season.
When I look at Alabama over the last, you know, two decades, I've always thought, okay, they're going to have a guy back there that's going to rush for close to 1,000 yards. And this Alabama depth chart at running back, that guy doesn't stand out to you. There's not a guy that has looked at like Derrick Henry or T.J. Yeldon or you know, even the past couple of years with Najee Harris. Who is that guy for Alabama? And or is that going to be something in the spring where you're really watching that position battle?
Yeah, I'm watching it. I think it's going to be like, if it was going to be one guy, I think it'd be Jam Miller. But I mean, he's been there and he hasn't been that guy the past few seasons. We'll see if he can take a step forward here. Richard Young, I think, is also one to watch. You've heard a lot of like really nice things about him from the coaches the past few years as he was kind of waiting his turn. But I think, you know, I think he's got some real potential there as well. But you know, with the run game this year, like the beef with Ryan Grubb with the Seattle Seahawks was that he just wasn't running the ball. So, and they had the 1,000-yard rusher at Washington. So it's just going to be one of those things where kind of wait and see. I don't even know what the offense is really going to look like this year.
Ryan Williams is obviously one of the best stories in college football. I don't know if you heard this or not. He was only 17. It was incredible.
That's what they were saying.
Yeah, whoever they are. Who compliments him this year?
Jeremy Bernard is back. I think he could be an NFL, like, high round pick, I think, coming out this season. Very smart football player, dynamically needs to be. Sort of got just overlooked, I think, hype wise last season because Ryan Williams was there and was only 17 years old. So he's there. Also, high hopes for Isaiah Horton coming in from Miami. I think he sort of provides a little different thing. Like, they didn't really have a tall receiver last season, so they'll have, I think that'll be back. And also, you hear good things about Jalen Hale. He missed last season, had like a real, real bad leg injury, like early in camp, and just like was completely out. And yeah, yesterday, Kalen DeBoer said, like, he's, you know, back, he's back at it, and like should by all accounts be an impact player.
Defensively, my lasting image of this team from a season ago was that Oklahoma game and how the Sooners were just so much more physical than Alabama was. It was really, really one of the most interesting games of the season for an unbiased observer. Is this defense – I think the days of saying an Alabama defense and thinking about what they were in 2012 and 2014, those days are over. College football is just different. But can this be an improved Alabama defense? And what are you looking for in the spring as far as players to step in?
I think you're looking for just the secondary to just be older, right? Like, there's a lot of, I think, criticism last season over Kane Womack running his scheme instead of like the same scheme Nick Saban had been running forever there. But I guess my question on that is, did you really want to see a bunch of 18-year-olds try and like figure out a Nick Saban pattern matching defensive scheme back there? Like, that wasn't going to go well. So I think your secondary guys, Xavien Brown being a big one, Bray Hubbard, some of those guys, I think are going to get a lot better going into this season. And then they got linebacker, I think, is going to be sort of a position of strength for them, with Justin Jefferson sort of got gifted a year to come back, and Deontay Lawson opted not to jump into the NFL draft. So they lose Jihad Campbell, who I think was a weapon for them last year, and I think will be so in the NFL as well. But they do have like some real experience coming back there. So, and I'd look for it to be a little bit improved, yeah.
Speaking of being older, seeing Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. really makes me want to go ahead and go buy a coffin. I can't have much time left, Matt. If that guy's son is already playing college football, what am I doing with my life here? Spring, you know, early enrollees, transfers coming in. Who are some of the new faces you've got an eye on as, you know, as practice gets started?
I mentioned Isaiah Horton, and I think he's really the big one. You know, there was some issue towards the end of last season. You heard a lot less about Ryan Williams being 17 years old because he kind of disappeared a little bit. Like, he just wasn't making those big plays. I don't know. Some of it was scheme related. Some of it was Jalen Milroe struggling related. But I think having just another guy who's a real threat down the field can take a lot of pressure off of Ryan Williams and a lot of just extra defensive backs off of Ryan Williams. So he's a big one. Cam Dewberry on the offensive line transferred in from Texas A&M. I think he can be impactful there, especially Tyler Booker's off to the NFL. Kelby Collins coming in as a defensive end from Florida, was considering Alabama first time around, Birmingham native, went to Florida. I think he can make a big impact as well.
All right, so this is the question I'm going to ask everybody I do these interviews with. I did it last year. We'll do it again here. You know, it's March 4th as we're doing this interview. When we come back on December 4th, and I ask you, you know, what was this Alabama team? What are you going to tell me?
Ooh, that's a good question, especially in spring ball when, like boy.
You know nothing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
who knows what this roster is going to look like. I think they'll be a playoff contender. I do. I think there's certainly enough talent, and it's going to be one of those things where Kalen DeBoer sort of got here right at the wrong time as far as fan expectations, because like the idea of those Alabama rosters from like 2014, you know, 2012, like those days are done. Like, you cannot build a roster like that anymore, where you've just got like NFL players sitting for 3 years behind other NFL players. Like, it's just not going to happen. You're never going to see that just run of dominance again. I don't think it's like possible. So I think they'll be a playoff contender. Like, they really could make the playoff this season, make a run, but like, what makes Alabama fans happy in like the new era of college football? We'll see.
We will see. Matt, appreciate you jumping on with me. You're the first one in this series. I got 15. I guess I got 14 more to go. I don't count Mississippi State. I'll talk about them plenty here on the podcast. Matt Stahl, AL.com, man. Appreciate your time.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me,
Brian. I'm so excited for revenue sharing, so everybody can be on an equal playing field, so Alabama can finally have success.
I can't get over that quote. I've been thinking about it ever since he said it.
It's about time that something happened for the little man like Alabama. And maybe LSU can have something from this.
We're doing another movie. Now we're doing Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I'm a friend of the little man!
Yeah, when I think of the
can
little
Alabama
man...
Can Alabama get like Hornswoggle out there like sweeping?
That's Notre Dame. It is. He was a leprechaun.
He's a leprechaun.
It was Vince.
It's the leprechaun.
It was Vince McMahon's illegitimate son.
He's a leprechaun. He's trying to steal me gold.
I hope my wire team's ready.
My wife found something at Aldi's. They're called leprechauns. They're mint chocolate chip little drumsticks.
Oh, yummy.
But I don't like mint chocolate chip, but. So she got them for her, basically.
How were the buffalo chicken taquitos?
I haven't eaten them yet. They're in the house. I didn't eat those.
I had one of the best Mexican meals
I saw that.
Ever
that
had.
Looked like it was from Uno Mas.
It was my wife's Mexican who she has perfected the Mexican dishes.
Becasito.
I don't know what happened. I don't know when this happened.
Latina heat.
She makes her own Mexican rice.
Mm.
She. I mean, it doesn't really matter what it is. Tacos, soft shell. It's not a shell, I guess. Tortilla.
Tortilla, yeah.
And, like, hard shell. Taco bowls. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's delicious. And last night we did, I guess it was a well, I made it kind of a burrito.
You made it more of a burrito.
Chorizo, beans, chicken, some tomatoes. Mm-hmm. What else did I put on there? Queso. Mm. What was that she made like a dip that I put on there, and then I put some hot sauce on it, mango habanero.
Mm.
Ooh, doggy.
Well, I don't know what all that has to do with Alabama football.
I don't care. But thank you to Matt Stahl for giving us a preview.
Appreciate that. Just real quick, I'm gonna Alabama. In 12-team playoff again, so and if they go 9-3, they're probably not going to make it again. So let's say that's the case.
Good.
Are they going to fire him? Would they fire him if he misses the playoff the first 2 years? I say yes.
What's his record?
9-3.
9-3.
So they're
would they fire him?
They're
for
back
that?
In like the Capital One Bowl.
We did say that. We've talked about this several times that if they consistently went 9-3, he would just get fired.
Yeah.
I don't know how quickly that would happen. But there would be people wanting his head on the.
I can get him fired. I can same record. I can get him fired. 9-3, and they lose to Auburn.
Ooh!
Now we're gone. Now he's gone.
And that's a distinct possibility.
It's in Auburn.
It's at Auburn and weird
crazy things in the Iron Bowl when they're at Auburn.
And Hugh Freeze, you know, prayers to him. He's got prostate cancer.
Yeah,
I could see this being like a redemption story thing for him.
They're gonna play for him.
Oh yeah,
I could see it absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm not making light of that.
No. I know what you're saying. So, all right. Hopefully tomorrow when we do this again, because we got another preview tomorrow, we can be a little more into it. Tomorrow we've got Arkansas.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we can be a little more into it as Mississippi State plays a baseball game against a team that's already beat them 3-0.
Well, future Brian will handle that one because he's such a great.
And see, and the whole science has been screwed up now.
Yeah.
The goal
they
was
to play today.
They changed the games, so they moved the game to Wednesday. So now you had both games apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the science was not in play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you lost basketball. So as we know, you can lose both games anyway.
Right.
It's just the whole thing got messed up.
Yeah. All right.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
We made it through. All right, guys. Are we doing the rumblings tomorrow? I say
should
no.
Should we do them Thursday?
Well, that's what tomorrow is.
Should we do them Friday?
Yeah.
We're not going to want to talk about anything on Thursday. There's a, what else do we have going
Well, we
on?
got the Arkansas thing. Well, and I'll do future Brian for baseball.
Crap, I forgot to do the tweet.
We'll put it off for another day. All right, we'll figure it out. Guys, have a good Wednesday. We'll be back with you on Thursday. We're just beat. We got nothing left to give today.
You know, I took off a show. I thought I would be rested and ready to return these last 2 days.
Hi, guys. Talk to you tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Hayden. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Supertalk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.